Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
You have your copy of God's Word. If you turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 14 through 32. And I'm going to let you just stay seated tonight. There's several verses I want to read, and then we'll get right into the message. Luke 4 and 14 is where we'll start reading that. Here's Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 14, the Bible says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bare him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up in 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that is a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill wherein the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Father God, thank you for the scripture tonight. I'm asking now that you help us, Lord, to be able to preach, and God, that you'll be exalted in it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a familiar story tonight. I'm sure you've heard it preached on, taught on, probably went through Sunday school class learning it and everything else, and I've preached on it several times myself. But there's a great truth that we find in this passage of Scripture. You may be sitting here thinking, well, this is, you know, just another rendition of the old story. I'm going to hear it again. I hope he hurries up. Going to go home and eat a meatloaf sandwich. Well, listen, if that's you, that's exactly the reason I'm preaching this tonight, is because I am feared that we are all have become way too familiar with Christ. Now, that may sound crazy to you. You may think, well, what in the world is he talking about? Just bear it out. Your familiarity of Christ can cause us to get into a state where we are no longer excited about what God has done for us. We can get to a point to where we've been so familiar with the old story, so familiar with the cross and the blood of Jesus, that it becomes just another story to us. And it doesn't give us that same feeling that we once had. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember how you just felt like you could walk on air and you wanted to go tell everybody about it and everything? Why do we not have that same feeling right now? We should have that same feeling right now. The same feeling we had about Jesus when he saved our souls from hell. We should have that same feeling today. I invited somebody to church a while back. This was her excuse of why she was not going to come. She said, "I've heard it all. There's not a message new that I could hear, and so I don't need church any longer. There's nothing new for me." She said that she had been taken to church as a child, and they went all the time, and so she's heard all the lessons and been taught and preached and all that stuff. And so she's at a point in her life now to where it's no longer necessary for her to go and hear preaching. She just thought that was ridiculous. I really question the truth of that. I can tell you personally, I've been in church for 52 years. I was drugged back and forth every time the door was open we went to the church. And I've heard message after message preached. I've been through two different seminaries. I've got a master's and a doctorate degree in theology from the Bible. I'm not here to brag to you. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I listen to at least four sermons a day, and I have for years. And I've been preaching for over 20 years and teaching the Bible for over 20 years. Friends, I've not heard it all. It's not become old. There's still things in God's Word that I've not heard preached on. There's still things in here that we need to touch on. There's still things in here that needs to excite us. And listen, I'm telling you the facts tonight. I believe that we've become so familiar with Christ that He no longer has that important role in our life. We no longer seem as high, holy, and exalted like we were talking about this morning. We no longer have the proper fear of Him. We no longer have the proper reverence. We no longer have the desire to be in His house to worship Him and to exalt Him. And we no longer have the desire to be with God's people and to congregate together. And I believe it's because we've become so familiar with it. We live right here in good old Knoxville, Tennessee. They claim this is the buckle of the Bible Belt. That you can wrap a belt all around the South and around the about all the way to West Tennessee. You can just do the buckle up and you've got the whole buckle belt of the South there. The Bible Belt, they call it. Well, listen, there's a lot of things that people say today. For instance, there's a survey that goes out every year saying what the most Bible-minded cities are. Knoxville is placed in the top of that several times. Chattanooga, other places in Tennessee. I don't know what it is right now. I believe Chattanooga was number one last year. But you can call yourself whatever you want to. But when I can take a survey tonight of churches all around this area, not only this area, but all around the United States. In fact, before I came to church tonight, I watched a pastor that I listen to every week. I listen to this guy every week. And he does a live Facebook live video of his church service. His church is about twice as big as our church. And he has millions of people that listen to him on the radio. And he had 11 people in that church this evening during his message, during the preacher's message. Now, listen, this is going on all over the place. I put in your bulletin this morning these alarming church statistics. I hope everybody looked at them. If you haven't, look at that. If you've got it in front of you, I'm going to give you some of these. Between 6,000 and 10,000 churches in the U.S. are dying each year, meaning around 100 to 200 churches are closing every week. This week, 100 to 200 churches will close in the United States. 65% of American churches have a weekly attendance of less than 100 people, including children. More than 2 million people have left the church every year for the past 7 years. 70% of those attending church one or more times a month never share their faith with a stranger. I believe that may take into consideration and play into what we're seeing also in the lack of church attendance. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, you know what they say. I know you guys are faithful, you're the faithful people, but I want you to know tonight that if a church is going to survive, if a church is going to keep going and growing, and if you didn't get one of the new Sword of the Lords out there, I urge you to get one of those on your way out. And there's the signs there of a dying church. It's listed in that Sword of the Lord. Be very good for everybody here to read. Because I'm afraid we're in danger of being like these other churches that we now go by that once were great, thriving churches, now their doors are closed. I'm hearing the very church I was saved in used to be bustling. Hundreds of people that went there. I mean, it was a busy, growing church. And it closed its doors last year and gave the church building away. Now, that's unheard of. When I was growing up, that was unheard of that a church would do that. But it's happening all around us. I know other churches, they can't have enough people to congregate on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. They just cut those services out. Just have Sunday morning services. No, some places aren't even having Sunday school because people won't come. Listen, it's come to a state today, the alarming statistics that I gave you, that's just a few of them. Friends, it gets worse and worse. But what we have in this scripture tonight, I really got off kind of on a rabbit trail there, but what we have in this scripture is Jesus going back to his home church, his synagogue. The Jewish synagogue is considered kind of like a church for them. And this is where they congregated together every week. And they would come and they'd read scripture, they would pray, and somebody would expound upon the text, and they would gather together. This is where he grew up at, here in Nazareth of Galilee. So he goes back to his home synagogue and goes in to teach these people, and what happens? Well, we saw what happened. They went bananas. They would not accept him. Why? Because they were too familiar with him. What they say, is not this Joseph's son? Isn't he the brother of him and her? And they were probably all sitting there. You know, this is where his family grew up at. And they all knew this guy, Jesus. And so they're saying, you know, is not this the carpenter's son? They were so familiar with him, there's no possible way that he is the one that would be considered the Messiah. But isn't that what he just told them he was? He said on this day this scripture has been fulfilled, meaning it's been fulfilled through him. But they wouldn't accept it. And so he was no stranger here in Galilee and Nazareth. In fact, the Gospels over and over and over call him the man from Galilee, the Jesus from Galilee, and from a city of Nazareth of Galilee. And so he's considered a Galilean. This is where he belongs. Look back at our text there in verse 14. It said that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. If you're here on Wednesday nights, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we talked about this, how his fame spread. He would go from city to city, up there in Capernaum, Bethsaida, and the other cities I can't remember right now. But he would go through each one of these cities, and all these are around the Sea of Galilee. It's all considered the area of Galilee. And his fame, he kept saying his fame spread, and word spread about him. And he got all these followers following him. Well, it spread, but notice it said he returned in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit, meaning the power of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus, even though he's 100% God, he's also man, and he's also, though, preaching and teaching through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so he comes to them in the Spirit. What does that tell you? If he's in their church preaching, telling them the truths, and he's in the Spirit and they reject it, what's that tell you? They don't have any Spirit about them. There's no Spirit present. It's only in Jesus. And when he walks out that door, it's dead. There's no other spirit there. In fact, they want to go and take and kill him. That's what they do. Their intentions are to kill Jesus. Well, he come there in the Spirit. In verses 17 and 20, he opens up the scripture and reads from the prophet Isaiah. That's what they would do. They would take a scroll of text, and then every week they would come and they would start where they left off last time. Jesus come, picks it up right in that spot right there where it talks about when the Messiah was going to come. He's going to come in the Spirit. That's what it said. The Spirit is upon me and is anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he starts giving all these descriptions of what the Messiah was going to do. He was going to heal the lame and cause the blind to see and all these things. And he tells them point blank, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so he's given them the greatest truth they've ever heard in their entire life, and they reject that truth all because they're too familiar with the man giving him the truth. And so it's what he said. He began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And Jesus, of course, they knew him as the son of Joseph and Mary and all this. But look at verse 22. It says, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And there we have it, the familiarity factor. You've heard that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, you better believe there was some contempt going on in that building that day. There was a dead spirit about that place, and there was contempt for Jesus. And they just asked the question, is not this Joseph's son? How can he possibly say he is the fulfillment of Scripture? I mean, he's making a bold statement there, isn't he? How can he be the Son of God when he's the son of Joseph? We all know that. Well, Jesus, knowing what they're thinking, look what he said to him, verse 23. He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Well, this is obviously some kind of proverb that was well known to these Jews. And Jesus brings it up. It's not, you won't find that in the Bible. It's some proverb that they knew, and he said, you'll surely say to me, you know, this, physician, heal thyself. And what this is meaning is, what they're saying to him is, okay, you claim to be the Messiah, then do a trick for us. That's basically what they're wanting him to do. They want to treat him like a sideshow. You claim to be the Messiah, okay, do something, heal somebody. We heard you did it over in Capernaum, do it here too. Go ahead, big boy, if that's who you say you are. And so they don't even believe that's who he is. They just want to see some kind of show put on. And Jesus said, no doubt you're going to say this to me, physician, heal thyself. You know, heal somebody here like you did in Capernaum. You know, show us who you are. Prove it to us.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bavely Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.